We wanted to look at this issue of stress. Since we were involved in the Who Cares survey, where people were asked the question, what hurts the most? You know, what do you find most difficult to handle in life? This is one of the top issues. Stress, it's something we all experience. What is stress? Well, stress is kind of what you experience inside when outside things are difficult and the pressure is piling on, and you'll get those times, won't you, when perhaps you're going into an exam and your mouth goes dry and your palms go sweaty and your stomach is doing somersaults inside you and your heart is beating. You know, we all get those kind of times, maybe when you're going for an interview or something difficult like that. But then other times the pressure is on, it seems, all the time, and we can feel really uptight like that, you know, a lot of the time, and it can bring on terrible headaches. People can even get very seriously ill from it, just stress going on and on and on. And I don't know whether you know this, but the worst time for stress is when you've got things that are difficult that you're responsible for, or at least you feel responsible, but you can't control them. So when you're responsible for stuff, or at least you feel responsible for it, and you can't do anything about it, that's when the stress is really the worst. So if they've done studies where they'll look at, say, a supermarket, and who gets paid the most? Well, of course, it's the manager in charge of the whole store. But who has the most stress? It's the person on the till. And why is that? It's because they've got a huge queue of customers, and they feel responsible for them, but they can't really do anything about it. Whereas if you're a bit higher up in the hierarchy, then you'll be able to do something about it. You'll say, let's move someone from the grocery department onto the tills, or let's take on more staff, or whatever. You feel more in control. And there'll be times in our life when we don't feel in control at all of lots of parts of our life, and yet we feel responsible for it. And we might wonder, you know, who up there in the senior management of the universe cares for us? Well, this passage that we're looking at here, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, really shows us that, yes, Jesus does care for us, just as he shows that he cares for this woman, Martha, in the stress that she's going through. Now, Martha, I know it's not a very big picture. It is, however, historically accurate. This is actually what she looked like. Feel free to look afterwards. You know, she's kind of at the heart of this story, isn't she? And in a way, she's you know, in the story, it seems like she gets it wrong. She's the one who sort of gets told off. But actually, she gets so much right, doesn't she? So Jesus comes into a village, and who's the one to say, stay at my house? You know, I've got a spare room, or, you know, I'll shift down onto the couch and you can have my room. And, you know, she's busy preparing a meal. She really wants to be welcoming to Jesus and make it great for him. And so she's, you know, busy preparing and trying to get things. And I guess we want to be aware that she, you know, she's got a lot going on in her life. So obviously, as in this story, you know, she's trying to be a domestic goddess. She's trying to be the hostess with the mostess. And she really wants things to be absolutely right. And it's worth noting, Mary and Martha seem to live together alone as sisters. And so it seems like Martha, I guess she probably was, you know, sort of reasonably wealthy in order to have her own household, and she was running that household. So, you know, she's the kind of person who I think would like a tidy house, sort of, you know, sort of place that you sort of feel a bit embarrassed, and then you have to invite them back to your place, and you think, oh, just don't look too closely. Jesus turns up, and she feels responsible for him as well then. You know, she's got to look after him, got to make his visit right. She's got what seems to be a younger sister, Mary, who's busy sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I guess she has some responsibility for her. And I'm thinking she's got a big to-do list. I mean, if you're running, managing a busy household like this, you've got a lot to do. If we were going to think of her today, if she was around today, we might want to think she's going to be at work some of the time. She's going to be perhaps also trying to build in a little bit of me time. No doubt she's got her mobile with messages pinging all the time, people trying to get in touch with her and want to know the answer to something yesterday. So, you know, she's very busy and she's got all these pressures on her all at once. I don't know whether some of you feel like that. You might not have a household to run, but we've all got stuff that we need to do, haven't we? You know, maybe we've got exams that are coming up, and we know that we've got to get all the work done for it. We've got hand-ins, we've got to be at work, and then we come home, and there's a whole list of jobs to do once we get home, things that are all waiting for us. And the thing is, Jesus is only there for a very short time. He's not going to be staying around in this village. He's got 3 years that he wants to travel around the whole of Israel. He really wants to get to just about every village, if he can, to announce the kingdom of God coming with him. And as it's like walking out of a public toilet. I've got bits of toilet paper stuck to my shoes here. If you look at verse 40... you might recognize this feeling sometimes. It says, verse 40, Martha was distracted with much serving. Now that word distracted is literally dragged about. Do you ever feel like that? You know, she's dragged about. She's trying to run the house. She's trying to get the meal on. She's got her work to do. She's got a big to-do list, her sister to worry about. And she's pulled in every direction. And she's juggling it all, doesn't really know how to handle it, perhaps. Verse 41, you wonder if she's also just sort of got that kind of personality that gets specially anxious. Verse 41, the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. You know, this isn't a one-off occasion. It's quite typical of her. In a way, you know, she's always got stuff on her mind that she's worrying about. She's worried and anxious about many things. And it's interesting to see, isn't it, what happens to the relationships in this story. So she's got all this stuff going on, and suddenly she's getting cross at her sister. She says, don't you care, my sister's left me to serve alone. And more than that, she's cross at Jesus, isn't she? Lord, do you not care? My sister has left me to serve alone. In the midst of juggling all this stuff that she's trying to do so perfectly, actually the most important relationships are starting to get damaged. So how is it that in the meantime, Mary can sit here looking so peaceful and serene? Now, I'm going to share with you a very embarrassing memory. When I was young, as an early teenager, I remember watching the telly. I think it was sort of coming up to a Sunday lunchtime. And I'm so embarrassed to say this, but I was watching and I couldn't hear because of the noise that my mum was making in the kitchen. And so I went and asked her, could she stop banging around the pans so that I could hear the TV? Okay, that's priorities for you, isn't it? Could she stop banging around the pans? You know, just make my dinner a little bit more quietly, if you please. Now, is that how Mary is? Is she somebody who's just lazy? Is she someone who's just got an especially chilled personality and she just sort of never worries about stuff? Is she relaxed because actually she hasn't told Martha, but she's already dialed out for a pizza and she knows that, you know, the food's going to arrive in boxes and it'll be fine, there won't be any dishes to do. You know, why is it that she's so serene? Well, if you have a look at what Jesus says in verse 42, he says, one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So one thing is necessary. Mary's got this one thing that is necessary. She's chosen one. What is the one thing? Well, of course, it is Jesus himself, isn't it? And it's listening to Jesus. You know, of course, there's a place in life for all of this stuff, and it's all important. But when time is short and he's only in town for a very short time. Are you going to spend your time in the kitchen, or are you actually just going to dial out for a pizza and sit and listen to Jesus? And so with a short time, they've got to make a difficult choice. Priorities come to the front, and Mary's actually doing what's most sensible in the situation. She's spending her time listening to Jesus on the short time that he's there. Now, of course, time is difficult, isn't it? It's always the thing that makes it difficult to make choices about things. But you see, I think that Martha was acting as if she'll do all this stuff and then she'll have a little bit of time left over at the end to sit and listen to Jesus. Whereas Mary thought the most important thing is to listen to Jesus. That's the one thing that's necessary. Do you know what? All these other things are going to go up in smoke at the end of the world. There's only one thing that's going to last, one thing that won't be taken away, and that's our relationship with Jesus. And so Jesus isn't just one thing to fit into our juggling day. It's not one thing to pop into our diary. He's got to be the Lord of our whole diary, of our whole time. And of course, it's right, you know, have a little bit of me time. We've got to have work time. We've got to-do lists. Maybe we've got a household to manage. Maybe there are people to entertain. Bit of time for family as well. But Jesus has got to be the one in charge of it all, doesn't he? Now, I remembered too late, actually, that it was Susanna's birthday a couple of weeks ago. And so I just thought, I hadn't really got anything, but I just thought a nice chocolate biscuit would be great to help her celebrate. So I've got a pack of 10 here. I don't think she'll want 10. Anyone else want a chocolate biscuit? Yeah? Yeah? There you go, look. Yeah. They're clean, trust me. Brand new, as the packet, yeah? Help yourself. There we go. Pack of 10, there are loads here. No? Anyone? Tom? No? Yeah. Poppy, you have one? Not for you? Hey, one Poppy. That's great. You guys? There you go. Help yourself. And sorry, I've made such a big thing of this. I do apologise, Susanna, but actually, do you know, I'm so sorry, there are only 5 in the packet. It does actually say 10 cookies. I think somebody's been at these a little bit earlier. I'm so sorry. Now, what could I have done to have avoided this really embarrassing situation where I made a big thing, I'm going to give her a present, and now I haven't even got a chocolate biscuit to give her? What could I have done to have avoided that? Anyone? Sorry? Eaten them all. Anyone? Rachel? I could have given her first, couldn't I? If only I'd done that. Lizzie, is that what you were going to say? Yeah? Anything else I could have done? Bought more? Yeah, could have checked there were 10 in the packet to start with, couldn't I? I mean, I guess I could have just put one aside for her. She's a little bit further back in the church. I could have put one aside first, or I could have, you know, given her the first, or I could have actually thought about it a little bit further in advance, couldn't I, rather than 2 weeks after her birthday turning up with a measly half-eaten packet of biscuits. But don't we have to do that with our time as well? If we want Jesus to be in charge of our lives, that means being in charge of our time. And so we need to make sure that we are making time for the good portion, for the best thing. It's always easy to let the good things in our lives drive out the best thing in our lives, and for the good to become the enemy of the best. So how do we avoid that? Well, we have to make time. We either give Jesus the first part of the day, or we make sure that we set aside another part of the day to be with him. Now, I think there'll be a number of us here who've made that a habit over our lives. It's not a complete solution to stress. It's not as if we're never going to face stress anymore. But what it does help with is it helps us make the right decisions when we're under stress. And there's a great word here, isn't there? So important in the middle of the passage that Martha as well recognizes. She goes to Jesus and says, "Lord, do you not care my son?" He's the Lord. And so if he's the Lord, if we're serving him, then we're doing the right thing, whatever we're doing. And the trouble with living as Martha was, when you're pulled in so many directions, is you've really got many lords, many masters that want to dictate to you and pull you in different ways. But when Jesus is in charge of your time, then he's the one Lord. And whatever we're doing it for him. And we can be confident that he'll take care of the rest. So I just want to ask, I mean, it may be that some of us here have never made any space for Jesus in our lives at all. But I'll bet that we experience stress. I'll bet that we experience that feeling of being pulled in lots of different directions at once. And I'll tell you what it is. You may think to yourself, "I have no Lord. You know, I'm in charge of my life. I'm the one at the center." What I would say to you is, you have many lords, many things that are pulling you in different directions. But none of those lords is the right one. There's only one. He's the good portion. He's the one that will never be taken away from us. And so I'd like to encourage you, if you've never considered the Lord Jesus Christ and you've never made him your Lord, what is it that's in charge of your life? What's driving it? It'll be something that won't last forever in the way of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will. And it's something that won't give you peace in the way that he will. But for all of us, perhaps you've been a Christian for many years. If you're somebody who regularly commits time to listening to Jesus, to opening up the Bible and sitting at his feet, listening to him, letting him speak into your life, then keep doing that. So easy, isn't it, to let distractions come in and let ourselves be pulled away. Don't let them. Put that first in your diary. Whether you're young, you might be at primary school or high school, you might be at university, you might be drawing your pension. But make sure that you're putting that time aside to listen to Jesus. We've got a number of resources at the back that can be very helpful, Bible notes and so on. I'd be very glad to point you in the direction of ones that will be useful for that. But let's just pray now. And let's try and think about to ourselves what might be our lords that pull us one way or another. And let's make up our minds that we're going to have just one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, stress is something that we all experience, and we find ourselves in life pulled this way and that so often. We feel responsible for things that we cannot control, and sometimes that's true. There is much in our life that we cannot control, and however hard we work and however fast we pedal, we'll never be able to get control of it all. But Father, we do thank you that you have given us the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is in control, and that we can trust him to take care of the rest when we put him first. Thank you for Mary's example. And we pray, Father, that you'll help us not to be distracted by much that's going on in our lives, but to make Jesus number one in all that we do. And we pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who as yet does not know the peace, the freedom, the joy that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we pray that you'll make him known to them today so that they might trust in him and receive his peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.